Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Graced Woman Podcast. If you've been following, you know that we've been talking about the executive life in this season, and the different topics we'll be talking about has been super inspiring. Today we're taking that conversation further, and as you can see, I have a beautiful guest here. I'm not going to tell you yet what we're going to be talking about, but today's episode is going to be really, really interesting. It's a topic that is super dear to my heart. It's a topic that I believe is so important, especially as we're talking about the executive life. It's a topic that we cannot, like, you cannot be an executor. You cannot go on with the executive life if this topic is not a lockdown in your life. You get what I mean? So I'm going to ask our guest to introduce herself, and I'm going to give you guys a backstory on how I met her, basically. So Eniola, thank you so much for joining us today. Please introduce yourself, tell us what you do, and all these amazing things.
Thank you so much for having me, first of all. My name is Eniola Makinde. I am an entrepreneur, I'm an educator, and I'm a coach. And I equip believers with the wisdom and clarity that they need to produce transformational, life-changing results from their Bible study, and also to become effective and progressive at their personal growth. So basically, when you think of Bible study, you think of personal growth in a transformational way. You think of Eniola.
Alright, so Eniola on Instagram is
Christ Errand Girl.
Christ Errand Girl. And let me now tell you guys the story of how I met her. So we already had someone that I was hoping would join us on the podcast to talk about today's topic, and for some reason the person was not available. And I was just asking the Holy Spirit, what am I going to do? Who am I going to reach out to? You know how sometimes you need something and you first of all think about all the people in your network and you reach out to all of them, but somehow they are not available. Guess what I did? I just went on Instagram and I searched Bible study. Guess whose Instagram profile popped out first?
Christ Errand Girl.
And I checked and I saw that she had followed us whether a day before. You know, if you know me, you know I'm not I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that everything happens for a reason. So when I saw that she had followed us, I quickly went through her profile and I was super impressed. I'm like, this is the person I'm looking for. So I sent her an email. That's another thing, because some people, you send them emails and you don't get any feedback from them. But I sent her an email and look at us here. So thank you so much for honoring our invitation and joining us on the podcast today. So I wanted to ask, why Christ Errand Girl?
Okay, Christ Errand Girl, that's an interesting question. I came up with the name, first of all, I read a book, and you know, the title, it's not like I hadn't heard the title Errand Girl before, but somehow it just struck me in a completely different way, right? And I had been, would I use the word, hungering to attach myself to Christ in a completely different way that shows that my entire vision, you know, and life mission is completely tied to Him, right? And so Christ Errand Girl just made sense, and you know, immediately I got it. I literally, you know, just changed my handle. I just made sure that it was an identity that I accepted, you know, in my heart and in my mind, because that's really who I am working towards becoming. You know, the person that God is able to send on errands and will deliver.
You know how errand girl, especially in this,
exactly,
in this part of the world,
how it feels
girl
like.
Looks like what do you call it in Yoruba again?
Your model.
So for you to want to have that identity, even regardless of what people might interpret it to be, yeah, it's really amazing. So tell us briefly about your faith journey. I was a pastor's kid, born into a Christian home, born to a pastor. You know, there are levels of pastors. the kind of pastor's kid that you cannot even misbehave, even in a strange land, because somebody knows your father or knows somebody
you
that knows your
mind.
Father.
Okay.
But how was your faith journey? Do you have that background, or how did you find Christ? How did you start this relationship with God?
Okay, that's another interesting question. So I was actually born into a Christian home. However, not the typical Christian home. My parents were not like gym Christians, but I knew we used to go to church every Sunday, you know, and you know, I knew that Jesus was important. You know, we used to go to church every Sunday. My pastors would talk about Jesus, God, I just used to go because my parents were going, you know. And then when I moved into when I grew a little bit older, I went to secondary school. My dad made sure that I went to a Christian secondary school.
Okay.
And you know, there I also, you know, realized I saw God in a different way. You know, God is really working, he does miracles and things like that. But I wouldn't say that my faith was strong or built up. I was still performing duties, you know, just like the Jews were in those times. And I think it was when I got into the university. I went to the University of Lagos, by the way. It was when I got into the university, precisely in my first year, second semester, last Sunday in the month of July. I can never forget it. You know, I went to church and it was just completely different. It was like, you know, it was like Paul the Apostle would say, it was like the scales in my eyes had been taken off, and I had begun to see Jesus in a completely different light. I realized that, oh my God, Eniola, this is more than a go to church on Sunday thing. This is more than a religion thing. This is an actual proper relationship. You know, there is an entity that is interested in building a relationship with you. You know, I had always had it at the back of my mind, oh, Jesus died for me and all that, but it had never really sunk in, you know. And funny enough, the only reason why I went to that church was because I heard that they used to give first timers small chocolate. You know, that time now in the university, you'll be if you went to uni, like, you hopefully understand what I mean.
Did.
You'll be so you get it, you know, you're just going to any church because you're a first timer and you're a student, they'll give you nice things, but there's free transportation or there's this and that. And that was why I went to that church. But thankfully, I went there to search for food, and you know, I've been filled since then, you know, and it has been an amazing experience since that moment. You know, I don't regret it. I'm so grateful to God for that moment.
Yeah. So at what point in your faith journey did you realize that, because there is no way that you would be a Christian or born into a Christian home and you don't know about the Bible, right?
True.
Some of us, we were gifted Bibles from our child education day. My daughter's child education, the gift they gave her in church was a Bible. So she's growing up seeing a Bible as like an ornament or sometimes a decoration. It's
exactly.
always there in the house.
Always
so at what point in your faith journey, in your walk with God, did you realize that, okay, there is just reading the Bible and there is studying the Bible, there is knowing more about God. So how has that been for you? And at what point did you realize the importance of studying the Bible?
Okay, so this is an experience I love to share a lot because it is very similar to what a lot of people are facing today. I like the fact that I can relate when people tell me that they don't like to read their Bible. So when I gave my life, when I, you know, really, really, really gave my life to Christ, you know, in my first year in university, I stumbled across a Bible in a year plan. And I was like, oh my God, I just gave my life to Christ. I must read my Bible. You know, I must. I mean, I knew that I didn't realize the value of reading my Bible, but I knew that I had to read my Bible because as a Christian, you have to read your Bible, right? And so I decided to do that. I took up the Bible in a year plan and I started from Genesis, you know, and then it was, I'm not going to say it was terrible, but it was war.
Sure.
It was war. It was like, I hate ironing clothes. And it was like, you'd be giving me a full box of clothes to iron every day. That was how I felt. And, you know, because there's this idea that you must read your Bible in the morning before you go to work. So what I would do, and I'm not even a morning person, so it just made matters worse. So I would wake up like by 6. Neither normally my waking up time is 8 o'clock when my brain is sane. But I wake up by 6 and I'm like, I must read my Bible. And then I spend the first 2 hours of the day reading my Bible. You know, and usually with Bible in a year plans, you have to read like 3 or 4 chapters a day, if not more sometimes. You need to read up to 6.
Try to finish.
Yes. And it was exhausting. I got tired, you know. I started from Genesis. Before I even got to the end of Genesis, I was tired. You know, the next year, I repeated it again. I was like, okay, you know what? Things are going to change. I started again, Genesis. By the time I got to Exodus, the same thing just kept happening. And I was looking around me. I had friends, you know, because I gave my life to Christ. I was making friends in the church. And I had friends who were also using Bible in a year plans. And they were finishing their Bible in a year plans. I'm like, so what is wrong with me? Like, is it I'm not disciplined enough? Like, what exactly is it? You know, and it was a struggle. I did it so many times. And then, you know, I was like, you know what? The episode is not for me. you know, maybe it's not for me. Maybe, I mean, I might just not be good at it. Mm. Maybe there's a level of
spirituality that you have to get to.
You get, and I was like, you know what, let me just party. Let me just be praying and be, you know, doing all the normal things, you know, and I only read my Bible. When I go to church on Sunday, I read my Bible. Mm. After that, till next Sunday. So 2 years ago, two and a half years ago, I think, I changed my church. This was, I had graduated, I had gotten a job, you know, so I was in that adulting phase of my life, and I had recently changed my church. A friend that I made in that church called me about 3 months after I joined. The first question he asked me, just randomly, was like, "Eniola, how's your Bible study life?" And I was like,
"Genge."
I don't get. It does not exist.
Non-existent.
Oh my God.
Non-existential.
And he was like, why? And I was like, see, don't bother convincing me. I've been down that road. I will try to read it, but I get confused. I get lost. I get bored. I sleep off. Everything just doesn't work out. Like, why is the Bible so boring? At that point, I was like, don't bother convincing me. I'll just be reading the two verses they give us on Sunday. You know, and he was like, and you're like, just try. I was like, see, my biggest problem at that time was that I was afraid that if I started again, I would be inconsistent again, and I would just fail. And me, you know, at that time, I really hated anything that had to do with failure, because, you know, I hated failing at stuff. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I feel like I'll be disappointing the Holy Spirit. And he was like, and you're like, don't bother about that. Just start again. And I was like, you know what? Okay. I said I will talk to the Holy Spirit about it. I was like, I'm not giving you, you know, a guarantee that I will start, but I'll talk to the Holy Spirit about it. And that was what I did. I had a conversation with the Holy Spirit, and he said to me, Eniola, just read 6 verses every day. Just do that. I was like, 6 verses. When my mates are reading 3 chapters, 5 chapters. Now my mates are finishing Bible in the app. And he was like, forget about that. Just read 6 verses, you know, and you know, I was like, okay, where should I start from? And he told me a book to start from. I think it was Ephesians or Philippians. Isha was not Genesis.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, don't start from Genesis. Just, you know, told me to start. He just told me specifically to start from, I think it was Ephesians or Philippians. I can't remember which one exactly. I was like, okay, you know what? That's fine. I will do it. And from that moment on, it was like my life just took a 360 degree change. I started by reading 6 verses every day, and it was phenomenal, right? I realized I would read just six verses, but I would feel like I was in a completely different realm. It was like I was in a completely different depth. I moved from spending 10 minutes reading 6 verses to spending, you know, 30 minutes reading 12 verses to now, actually, I moved from Bible reading to Bible study, because there's actually a difference.
Yes.
You know, I moved from Bible reading when I had garnered some level of interest in Bible reading. I moved from Bible reading to Bible study. And then I realized that it was as if the more I studied, the deeper my hunger went. And I just wanted to find out more. And that was when I started going for Bible trainings. That was when I started looking for tools. I started using commentaries. You know, it was like, again, the scales
had fallen off.
You know, I had graduated into a higher level of my relationship with God. And, you know, it's life-changing, transformational. It completely changed my life. It was the biggest instrument, and it's still the biggest instrument to what God defines as mind renewal. You know, that's why I say that if you don't read your Bible as a believer, you never start.
Okay, you know. So I want to ask a question. BC before you started reading your Bible again,
okay.
Now, because you mentioned that you had a conversation with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I'll ask 2 questions. First of all, after you gave your life to Christ and you tried to study the Bible based on your own understanding or based on what you saw that people do, and you failed, how was your relationship with God during that period? Remember, you're not studying the Bible, you're not reading the Bible. You're basically waiting for Sunday and whatever verse of the scripture they share in church. But how would you say your relationship with God was? Because you mentioned that after your friend mentioned it, you spoke with the Holy Spirit. So it meant that there was still communication with the Holy Spirit and your walk with God. So how was that? Did you feel like you not studying the Bible? Did you feel guilt during that period of you not studying the Bible in your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Or did you feel like the relationship was still there, even though I was not studying the Bible.
So the truth is, I felt that the relationship was still there. We still had conversations. We still, you know, I used to pray and all of that. But I think at that time, Bible study was one of those topics where I'm like, you know what, Holy Spirit, you can talk about other things, but this one, just leave it. You know, I've tried it and it's not working. And it was also the fact that I had doused that need to read the Bible, or that guilt in quotes to read the Bible, with devotionals. I used to read devotionals. No. I can read six. So I use YouVersion. Mm-hmm. YouVersion has what we call Bible plans. Mm-hmm. I can read at that time. I could use six Bible plans in 1 week. Mm. I would read it in my head. It was almost as if I was substituting it. You know, if I can't read my Bible, I will use a Bible plan. Bible plans are more interesting.
And then
they are more modern.
And then there are verses that they are verses attached.
Yeah. So in my head, I was like,
I'm still reading the Bible.
Even though the truth is that it's not the same thing. It's like, I shared a video on my page recently about the difference between Bible study and devotional study, because I actually keep getting that question because I have done both. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you that there's a huge difference between Bible study and devotional study. First of all, one thing you need to realize is that your devotional is not your Bible, and it will never be.
Yeah.
In no degree, form, or shape. Number one. Number two is that in as much as devotionals have scriptures attached to it, first of all, you're not even sure that it's the right context. You're not even sure of what the author
right
was trying to say. You're not sure. Yeah, it's the right context, it's the right explanation. Let me give you an example. Okay. You know, I could read a devotional today that would talk to me about faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. And it would encourage me to, you know, as I'm having faith in maybe God's plan for me, I should also walk towards it. I should be effective. I should be disciplined, which is good. But that's not what that text was trying to say. It's not contextual. It doesn't mean that the devotional is not correct. It means that someone has read it. Someone has read a part in the Bible. They have drawn a lesson from it. They are teaching you that lesson. But why are you sticking to, you know, the tap when you can actually go to the source of the water? It doesn't make sense. You are shortchanging yourself. That's what it is, you know? So if I read a devotional that uses faith without works is dead as an example, and it talks to me about effective discipline and all of that, it will make sense. If I go to James chapter 2 and I read it myself, to change my life. Two different things.
And you know that you can even read that scripture two different times, and the Holy Spirit will minister two different things
of
to
course,
you.
Based of course.
Based on where you are currently in life, of what He wants course. To teach you. So I think that's the reason why Bible study would forever be above devotionals. Devotionals are great, yeah. But I think someone explained it to me, just similar to what you said. Like, devotionals are taking.
They're like
what
some small bits and pieces.
When there is so much more
exactly.
that you can get. And when you read that passage, you read the passage before, you read the passage after,
you get the
you
full
know,
context.
Yes, you get the full picture.
You know, I always say biblical authors, they had something in mind. When Apostle James was writing the book of James, he had something in mind. He was addressing a couple of things. And so if I just pick one thing
one
and
verse.
I say, okay, I want to talk about the power of the tongue, you know, that Apostle James talked about, it doesn't even capture half of what he was trying to say. Because Apostle James was really focusing on wisdom for godly living. You know, the power of the tongue is one of it, but it's so much larger than that, right? My partner calls, you know, the Bible, he calls it the inexhaustible knowledge of God. You know, you read the book of James today, you read it tomorrow, you read it and you
and
keep
you
getting
something.
New things.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's life-changing.
In case you are still wondering what we're talking about, I've not mentioned, today we're talking about how to study the Bible effectively. I know it's a topic that so many people don't want to talk about, just like she shared from my experience. I also have my experience. The Bible can be very boring, can look very boring,
intimidating. It has more than 1,000 pages.
Like, how am I going to start?
When
people are sharing their YouVersion report card at the end of the year, and you are wondering, God, am I your prodigal son? I hope that at the end of today's episode, you would have clarity and better understanding, and just understand that Bible study is actually fun, and it's something that we cannot do without. Basically, we can't do without it. So, to my next question.
Okay.
Since you started this new, since you gained a better understanding of Bible study, and you've started this new journey of studying the Bible, knowing more about God, have there been times where you struggled with inconsistency? Have there been times when, because from all you shared now, it seems like you and your Bible are best friends. Like, you read it 6 hours a day. So have there been times that you go days without Bible study?
Okay, so I'm going to share an interesting experience.
Okay.
A few months ago, just as you know, I'm a creator as well on Instagram, and I basically create content that helps people to understand the Bible better. I've been sharing content for 2 weeks on Bible study, for 1 week rather, on Bible study, but throughout that week, I had not read my Bible. You know, it's very interesting. I'm actually purposely sharing that. It's very interesting. Why had I been not reading my Bible? I was busy. I was busy creating content to help people understand their Bibles better. But me, I was not reading my Bible for an entire, was it up to a week? Yeah, I think it was up to a week. That's actually the longest I have gone. It was up to a week. And after that week, Julie Smith just asked me, was like, Emela, what are you doing? You know, he was like, how is it that, don't you see, you need to be discerning, open your eyes. And I realized that I cannot be feeding others when I am hungry
from an empty cup,
you know. And so this is to say that yes, at some point I have struggled with inconsistencies, and there are days that, you know, I might miss my Bible reading maybe one day, you know. But one thing that the Holy Spirit has ingrained into my memory, maybe because I had been inconsistent a lot of times before I now started reading my Bible again, was that the goal is not perfection in your human body. The goal is progress. The goal is growth. I need you to grow. I'm not asking you to be perfect, but I need you to grow. I need you to progress. So what that means is, if today now, for example, I miss my Bible study, that's okay. Tomorrow, I continue from where you stopped. And another thing that has also been ingrained in my memory is that idea of duty versus delight, right? There will be days that you delight in reading your Bible. You're like, oh my God, I just want to read it and just be here. Just, you know, just be here for the rest of my life. And there are some days you're like, God, there's some days you're like, God, I beg, can I skip it? You know, sometimes I remember one day I had been working all day, and I was telling the Holy Spirit that, please, let's do this tomorrow. He said, I said tomorrow. He said it's not possible, you know. And I had to, you know, just carry that duty. It's just like being a soldier. There's some days that you don't feel like being deployed to a completely different place. So you're going to leave your family and everything, but you've signed up for this.
Yeah.
You are passionate about this. Even if you don't feel the passion 24/7, you have to discipline yourself. You have to make sure that you see it as a duty. My biggest goal in life is to make sure that I am consistently a responsible daughter of the kingdom of God. I need to make sure that I am always playing my part in the story that God is telling. It's going to be impossible for me to do that without studying my Bible every day, right? I know that it might feel daunting at first to read my Bible every day. Is that really possible? That's why I always advise to start small, right? And even as I am, you know, maybe I am no longer a beginner per se, I make sure that I put it at the back of my mind. And you're like, you need to read your Bible every day. And so this leads me to saying that as a personal growth coach as well, create an environment that will accommodate the growth of your goals. If not, it's going to die, right?
Say that again.
Create an environment that will accommodate the growth of your goals. So if you have a spiritual goal to read your Bible every day, maybe you want to read the book of James in the month of February, for example, it's not just by saying I want to read the book of James in the month of February. First of all, why do you want to read it? You need to have a vision at the back of your mind, because it will fuel you on the days that you don't feel like doing it. And you need to put systems in place. So for example, on my phone, I have reminders, daily reminders for Bible study. It's not because I will forget, because I don't forget anymore, but because if I'm scrolling on Instagram, I will leave Instagram straight up. You understand? I have alarms on my phone that tells me, Eniola, Bible study time. It's time for Bible study. You need to read your Bible. I have what I call, that's one of the reasons why I recently just created a Bible plan, you know, for people that are, for beginners trying to read their Bibles, you know, the Bible plan is focused on the book of James for the month of February. And it is so that you have a plan. You know that on the 1st of February, I'm reading this. I'm 2nd of February, I'm reading this. On the 3rd of February, I'm reading this. On the 4th of February, you already have that in place.
Yeah.
You also need to ask yourself, okay, what kind of lifestyle do I have? You know, I am opportuned and privileged to work from home. So I can easily say that I do my devotional, I do my study time in the evenings, right? Because that's the time that my mind is the most alert and open. If I read in my Bible in the morning, I will not remember anything because I'm always in the middle of sleep somehow, you know. So you need to consider your lifestyle. If you are the person that you leave your house by 5 a.m. to go to Ikoyi and you are coming back, maybe you live in Ikeja or you live in Ikorodu, you need to really ask yourself, in what time of the day am I going to study my Bible? And how, you know? For example, if you are somebody that you like hard copy a lot, if you go from Ikorodu to Ikoyi, you have to buy a portable Bible that you can always put in your handbag, that you can always read whenever you're in traffic, you can always read it during your break time when you get to the office. You need to create systems that will enable you to easily, you know, do the things that you want to do. Like I tell some of my clients, discipline does not mean that you will see something now. For example, discipline, I'm trying to not eat cake. I'm on Fit Farm. I'll now buy cake and put it on the chair and now sit there in front of the cake and be the cake.
It's gone.
It is you not actually buying the cake.
Yeah,
it is you, instead of buying cake, buy parfait, buy salad and put it there so that there's something else. You understand? And I mean, creating that system is just super, super important. For me, for example, I know that I'm not a hardcover person. It's very strange whenever I meet my fellow Bible study, you know, people or coaches, and because a lot of them are hardcover, you see highlighters, you know, jotters and everything, but I'm not that person. Every single tool I use is on my phone. Every single one of them, all my resources are on my phone, and that even also makes it easier for me to always be able to read my Bible.
All right. So as you were speaking, one thing that kept coming to my head was how, you know, in the Bible, there's comparison a lot with our relationship with God, our relationship with Christ, and the relationship between a husband and a wife.
Yeah.
And I have read those passages, and Holy Spirit has taught me several things. But as you were speaking, Holy Spirit is just reminding me again how, like, when there are comparisons of both of them in the Bible, it's not a coincidence. It's because there are so many things that God wants to teach us. So for example, you've mentioned several times your partner. When you're in a relationship, and this is not just relationship with a friend, specifically relationship with a romantic partner, a husband, a wife, a spouse, soon to be husband or wife, we intentionally, no matter how busy your schedule is, you intentionally create time every day to have conversations. When you mentioned duty and delight, yes, there are times when you might not be in the mood to talk to this person.
Exactly.
There are times when the person even has offended you.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the duty, you would not say, I will not talk to this person for 1 week.
Exactly.
Do you understand? There are times when there are butterflies all over your tummy. Mm-hmm. That's the delight.
Delight, exactly.
And as you're waking up, you're picking up your phone. Mm-hmm. And you're speaking for 2 hours.
Exactly.
You're texting back and forth. So it's just the same way. Yeah, not everyone will be in a relationship right now and can relate to that. But what I wanted to just bring out from that is, how much do we need? How much do we have a need and passion for God?
Exactly.
When we say we are Christians, do we have this mindset that I really need God? I really need to know God? Because from all you've shared, the difference between when you are trying to do a Bible in the year plan and now that you actually are interested, it's just there is an interest and you just want to know more. I just want to know more about this God. I just want to know more about what.
In love.
Yes, it's not even just because, you know, sometimes we are reading and we want to learn because we want to share.
It was a mindset shift. mindset.
Yes, that
was
part.
A mindset shift. That.
So, what's your current favorite chapter in the Bible aside from James?
Okay, my current favorite chapter is I have a lot of favorites, but I think my current favorite chapter is John.
Okay,
the Gospel from John, chapter 1. That's
why.
My favorite. Why? Okay, if I start explaining, we won't leave here today. But let me just touch on it a little bit. The biggest part of the
Let me even try to remember. John 1 was when, who was speaking in John 1?
John was himself, writing. Yeah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God.
Yes,
yeah.
And what was
so God? Basically, what Apostle John does in John chapter 1 is he spends the first couple of verses, well, not like the Bible was written in chapters and verses anyway, but he spent a lot of time emphasizing on the identity of Jesus, and it changes everything. It completely and utterly changes everything. In the first few sentences, he highlights that Jesus is the agent of creation, Jesus is the light in men, and Jesus is life himself. And at this point, you are like, I love how the first thing he did was to compare, you know, was to talk about the creation. He went back
to Genesis.
And the reason why he did that was because he was trying to show that a new creation is starting, and the same entity that created, you know, that created us at first is coming back, is coming here to start something new and start something afresh, and it's going to be life-changing. You know, the way Genesis, the book of Genesis chapter 1, the way God creating man was a completely life, like, it birthed life. That's exactly what John was trying to do. And I love another thing that John does is he doesn't just talk about creation, he doesn't just refer to creation, he refers to creation, and then he refers to before creation. Right, in the beginning was the Word, and it was with, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Even before anything was created, the Word existed.
Yes.
Before anything.
Yes.
So even before God had said, let there be light,
yes,
the Word was in
it's
existence.
Like, in case you missed,
you know,
what happened in,
you
guess,
in case you missed
let
it, in case you did not realize, you know, everything that was happening at that point. This is what it was, and this same entity that created us is coming back, you know, and and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, the dwelt used in that verse actually means tabernacle, right? And you know, when you check
like
the Greek word tabernacle, like it's physical building. And if you think about the tabernacle in the Old Testament, you realize that the Israelites carried the tabernacle everywhere with them. It was like the Ark of Covenant. And when the temple was built, the tabernacle was in the middle of it. The tabernacle was inside, more or less like you compare it to like the Holy of Holies. And it was a place that nobody could go because that was where the presence of God was. And John was trying to tell us that the presence
that
of God
is coming.
It's coming to dwell among us. It's coming to be with us, right?
Should we continue?
And it completely changes.
Should she continue preaching? Wow.
It completely changes everything. It opens your eyes to understand the identity of Jesus, the authenticity of his sacrifice, how everything started. You know, it shows how the Jews were not welcoming of Jesus. It shows the,
because that's not what they were used to.
Yeah, it shows the humility of John the Baptist. I can't get over that, you know, because John the Baptist, after spending so much time in the wilderness, he had begun to have disciples, and immediately he baptized Jesus. He told them to go and meet Jesus. In these days, you would say that John the Baptist, he had a healthy sense of self-awareness because he did not tie his he did not tie his self-awareness to the disciples he has had. But at the same time, it's a lot of humility. It takes a lot of sacrifice for you to just want to be like, you know what, this person is the reason why I have come, and now that he's here, I need to Then another thing that strikes me in that chapter is the kindness of Jesus. A lot of people skim over it. So Andrew and John were the first disciples of Jesus, and they had come from John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist was like, oh, behold, you know, the Lamb of God and all of that, they went to meet Jesus, but they didn't talk to Jesus. Jesus was walking, and they were more or less, you know, behind him. They did not have, would I say, the audacity, they didn't have mind to talk to Jesus. But immediately Jesus knew that they were behind him. He turned back and he asked them, What do you seek? You know, and that just pictures Jesus right now. Like, that just pictures how God is trying to get into the heart of every human being. What are you seeking for that is more than me? Because we have a God-sized hole in every, in all of us. There's what we call a God-sized hole that only God can fill. So what are you seeking? Trying to find pleasure in so many different places when I am the only kind of pleasure that can fulfill you.
Do you currently have a Bible study structure? Do you have some tools? You mentioned already that you are a digital person. You like to use YouVersion app, all the apps. So what tools would you say have helped you be more consistent with your Bible study?
I like this question. So my number one most important tool, of course, is my alarm.
Okay.
Right, because I need to set reminders. If not, you know, that sometimes I will forget or be distracted. So very important. The second tool is... So I use a variety of Bible study tools. I use YouVersion Bible app. I use YouVersion Bible app for the Bible plans. I still do Bible plans, by the way. I just reduced the number of Bible plans I do so that I can focus on my Bible. So I do like one or two Bible plans a week.
Okay.
I use YouVersion Bible plans. And YouVersion also offers me a variety of translations. Right. So I use that as well. I use YouVersion Bible plans. My major Bible reading app is Bible Hub.
Bible Hub?
Yes, H-U-B, Bible Hub.
I've never heard of it.
I know, it's very uncommon. It's probably one of the best things I've ever come across in my entire life.
What are the features?
It's like, it has everything. Like, it has all the translations, it has commentaries, it has a lexicon, it has Strong's Concordance.
Is it free?
Completely free.
Bible Hub.
Yeah, it's Bible Hub. They have a blog and they have an app. Yeah, on both Play Store and Apple Store. I majorly use this. So what I do is, usually when I want to read a book of the Bible, I first of all get, I try to get a summary of what the book is talking about. I read the first chapter and I usually read it directly in my lexicon. Why I like reading directly in my lexicon is that it is showing me the Greek words. If I'm reading in New Testament, it's showing me the Greek words side by side, and immediately I click on a Greek word, I'm able to see the exact meaning of that Greek word, so that the author's perspective gets into my head very well, right? I like to do that, and then I also use one of my favorite commentaries on the app is called Will Minton's Bible at a Glance. So what Will Minton's Bible at a Glance does for me is that it gives me an overall perspective of the biblical author's goals, the background of the book, the things that are found in the book, what the author was trying to achieve, you know, and all of that. And you can also find that in some introductory translations. Some biblical translations also have an introduction. I think either NIV, New International Version, or NLT, New Living Translation. If you use YouVersion, it also has an introduction, but it's not as extensive as Will Minton's Bible at a Glance.
Okay.
So I use that. And then for commentaries, Bible Hub has all the commentaries that I use. My major source of commentaries are, my major commentaries are Barnes Notes on the Bible, McLaren's Expositions on the Bible, Pulpit Commentary Homiletics. Those are my three favorites. And then Matthew Henry Commentary. If you're a beginner, I absolutely recommend Matthew Henry Commentary. In fact, instead of downloading Bible Hub, you can just download Matthew Henry Commentary on its own separately.
It's an app.
Right? It's an app. Yes. Okay. I don't know if it's available on Apple Store, but I know it's available on Google Play Store.
Okay. You
know, so Matthew Henry Commentary, very helpful. And then that's basically the source of most of my Bible tools.
Okay.
I use that in conjunction with YouVersion, and I also use Matthew Henry Commentary app to by itself, because there are some details sometimes that are not in Bible Hub.
Okay.
Another tool I also use is Notion. So I use Notion to take my notes.
Okay.
It's an app. I think it's on both Apple and Google Play Store. So if you're a digital person looking for something to use for your notes, you can use that. You can just use your normal notes app. So those are basically all the tools that I use.
So do you have a structure? When it's Bible study time, do you have a structure on how things go, or you just allow the Holy Spirit to lead
Yeah,
you?
So once it's Bible study time, the very first thing I do is I read my Bible plans.
Okay.
I read my Bible plans. I spend about 30 minutes reading my Bible plans, because Bible plans help me to, they help me meditate. They help me to have conversations with the Holy Spirit. The YouVersion plan also has prayer prompts. So it prompts me to have meditational conversations. So praying, you know, like praying prayer points or praying in tongues is different from those kinds of meditational conversations that I have with the Holy Spirit. So that's the first thing I do for the first 30 minutes. And then for the next about 60 to 80 minutes, I focus on my Bible. So I move from YouVersion, I move to Bible Hub. And so the first thing I do is, let's say, for example, I'm reading John chapter 3, maybe from verse 1. So usually I average on about 10 to 12 verses a day. Let's say I'm reading John 3 from verse 1 to 10. So I first of all read John 3, 1 to 10 using a lexicon so that I understand what Apostle John is trying to say. I am seeing the true meanings of each word in Greek, right? So once I do that, I then move. So I do that for, say I'm studying John 3, 1 to 10. I do that for John 3, 1 to 5. Then I move to the commentaries. I check what Barnes notes on the Bible says. I check what Pope's commentary homiletic says. I check what was the last one? I can't remember. Matthew Henry. You know, I just check them to basically understand, okay, what are they trying to say? And then after I do that, and I'm able to establish, I do that for each verse. Mm. After I do that for each verse, then I go to my notes.
Okay.
And then I start to download.
Right.
Okay, so John 3 verse 1, what was said? What are the Greek words that I should note? What did the Greek words mean? What did I pick here that is irregular? What is the perspective of Apostle John? Is there any wordplay? Is there any grammatical expression I should be aware of? Is there any analogy? Is there any simile? You know, I also use cross references. I try to see that, okay, in what other parts of the Bible was this used? You know, was this the first time it was used? Was this the second time? Was this the third time? You know, so I just write all of that in my notes. And so once I'm done with, let's say, John 3, 1 to 5, I just repeat the process for John 3, 6 to 10.
Okay.
You know, and before you know it, 1 hour, 2 hours.
I was about to ask how many hours you spent. I'm also just trying to bring this home, make it practical. Because you shared earlier, like, people understanding what their plan, what their schedule is in a day, that would help you to know how many hours am I going to allocate. Because Bible study is not something that you just rush over.
You don't rush.
If you want to get depth from it, you have to stay. But we know Lagos living, you have a 9-to-5. Even if you're working from home, you still have a 9-to-5. You have several hustles, you have several things that you're doing. How do you practically allocate time for Bible study? I think that there's no one rule fits all for this, especially if you're starting as a beginner. You might have to start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Don't listen to us and say, oh, I have to allocate 2 hours a day. You might have to start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But I think that what's more important is you being intentional and you growing. So we're going to leave all the grammar and, is it humiletics is called? All the theological grammar, and we're going to bring it home. And the question I want to ask is, like, life application. You spent 2 years intentionally studying the Bible. How have you been able to apply all of those truths? I'm not saying how have you been able to apply it in coaching other people on how to study
in
the Bible. In your personal life, have there been a scenario or scenarios where you were faced with a difficult decision or something and the Bible came through for you?
Okay, I'm going to share this personal story because I know it's going to help someone. Last year, this is a very personal story. Last year, June 2022, on my birthday. My birthday is June 15, by the way.
Okay.
On my birthday, June 15, 2022, I attempted to kill myself. I know a lot of people find that very shocking. Yeah. And actually, that was last year would make it 4 years that I had been struggling with depression and suicidal thoughts and all of that. And I mean, on my birthday, it was just so overwhelming. I was like, you know what? I'm done. I had read my Bible, so it's not as if I was not reading my Bible, you know. And for the next I'm so grateful for my partner at that period because he was so insistent on me going to therapy and all of that. And I stopped reading my Bible for about 2 months. So this was happened in June 15, 2022. By July, August, yeah. So on the first, at the end of July was a friend's birthday. She forced me to come to her house to spend the week because she knew what was going on in my life. So I was there. On the day that I was to leave her house in the morning, my church has this morning prayers that we do on Triumph 30. And that morning, it was the first day of the month of August. I joined that morning, and you know, I just asked the Holy Spirit to give me hope, you know, because nothing was making sense. You know, I'd already explained. I mean, you know,
yeah.
So I just asked him that I just needed, even if it's just the tiniest seed of hope that he could give to me, you know, that I would hold on to it for the rest of my life. And you know, he answered my prayer, and I the hope was very tiny, but I had begun to be hopeful again. And that was when he led me to study the book of James, which is why I talk about James a lot. And that was when he led me to study the book of James, the very first five verses in the book of James changed my life. You know, it talks about how a lot of people don't really understand how deep you know, those verses are. And James is talking about how count it all joy when you come across, or when you are facing trials and temptations and afflictions, because it is a chance for your endurance to be built up. And when your endurance is being built up, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing, you know. And that has been my anchor ever since, you know, that time. Again, that's why I talk about the book of James a lot. It has shown me that the Holy Spirit just tried to draw my attention to the fact that, Enyola, you will feel horrible sometimes. You are in a world of contradictions. Mm. There will be things that will shake you so badly that you will question, you know, some of the things that you might have read or you might have seen.
Mm.
But you need to understand that it is building up your endurance, and a day will come that you will be perfect and complete. You know, the concept of completion, of perfection or completion for a believer, is a point where you no longer need to, you know how Jesus lived with us for 33 years,
yeah.
And he didn't commit any sin, he was completely perfect, you know, and that's because he was an entity. He was a divine entity, rather. It's a point where you get to and you know that, okay, you don't need to go through processes anymore. You have become a finished product, you know. And that was basically what the Holy Spirit was trying to say. That's why the Bible says that all things are working together for our good. Your flesh is not in line with your spirit, but being in the world of contradictions will groom you to the point where your spirit is so much above your flesh, and you are perfect and complete on the day of Jesus Christ. You won't need anything any longer. You will not need to go through anything any longer, you know. And that, you know, those five verses, like I said, it completely changed my life. And I realized that at every trial I faced, in fact, that was actually the beginning of my trial.
Mm.
Because it wasn't as if after, you know, the suicidal attempts and depression, it wasn't as if after that everything was just perfect. It became worse. But my mind had, I had absorbed that building up of endurance into completion, into perfection. And so when those trials came, it wasn't like I was floating and everything was perfect, but from that place of understanding, it was so much easier to deal with. It was just so much easier to deal with. You know, it affected my temperament.
Hmm.
It affected my how I reacted to situations. You know, easily I could easily, if something bad happens, I'll just start crying. I'll just be like, oh my God, the world is against me. Oh my God.
Hmm.
You know, but I was no longer that person. I was now the person that was like, That's fine, no problem. God will work it out.
So it gave you better understanding, because thinking about it now, thinking about for James to write that in the time where Christians were being
persecuted,
mm-hmm. and he was writing that to fellow Christians, mm-hmm. that yes, you might be going through trials mm-hmm. and
in
tribulations.
Fact, to buttress your point, James wrote the book of James to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Mm. Why were they scattered? Because of persecution. So he was telling you that even though, like you said, you're being persecuted, people are doing this, people are doing that, it doesn't matter. Your endurance is being built up. And if you focus on that endurance, you know, one of the things that really beats me in the book of Leviticus, I don't know whether it's Leviticus, yeah. The book of Leviticus is how the Israelites were being beaten by snakes, and God told Moses to mount up a serpent mm-hmm. on a pole for them to look at. All they needed to do was to look at the snake serpent and they would be whole. And that painted a picture of focus.
Yeah.
If you focus on Jesus,
yeah.
If you really, really, really focus on Jesus, yeah. It's not like the snake biting you that beat you
it's
that time.
There.
It's not like it's not there.
It's
not like
it's not there. And you know, there is this quote that says that I want to grow in my faith to the point where I see Jesus more than I see my problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you talked about us growing and our spirit, yes, the flesh is there experiencing the pain, mm-hmm. but our spirit man has been built up
exactly.
to the point that our spirit is now elevated
exactly.
more than the flesh.
I like that language.
I think that's the whole point of our work as our Christian work, because like you said, it's also something that the Holy Spirit was also reminding me. You're living in a crooked world.
Mm.
You're going to go through trials and tribulation, not because you're a bad person, but because the world is bad.
Actually, from the times of Adam and Eve, Adam chose, you know, his wisdom over God's
yes.
wisdom. And people have been doing that.
Yes. So thank you for sharing that. This, still talking about application, we've been talking in this season, we're talking about execution and how to effectively execute the different goals and plans that God has for us. Because it's the beginning of this year, everyone's talking about their goals and ambitions, and it's something that the Holy Spirit has placed in my heart to help people align to God's goals for them. So how would you say in your own journey, because I know that you said you launched a book, I'm sure it's not based on I just want to become an author, I just want to add author to my name, and I know it's not easy, like from the thought, the idea of launching a book to actually launching the book, like it's not a walk in the park. So how would you say applying again Bible study into your personal life, into your everyday life, how would you say that has helped you to execute the different goals that God has given you part time?
Okay, so I'm smiling so much because this was actually the crux of my book. Right. The title of my book is Becoming God's Version of You.
Hmm.
And that's because the perspective of every human, every, you know, regular person at the end of a particular year, right, at the end of December 2022, was a case of, I want to become a better version of myself in 2023. I want to become this, I want to become that. Right. And that's good.
Yeah.
But you need to realize one big thing we need to realize as believers is that we are not just called to become better version of ourselves. The world is already becoming better version of itself.
Yeah.
What makes us different?
Yeah.
Right? The biggest thing that the Holy Spirit shared with me, or that I got from reading one Bible plan last year, was how are you playing your part in the story that God is telling? God is telling a story in our generation.
Mm.
God is telling a story with our lives, with the world. So how can you play your part? And the truth is that is the purpose and mission and vision of every believer, to play your part in the story that God is telling. And how can you do that? You need to align with God's vision. What is God's vision? That all men be saved and come to the knowledge of Him. And so it doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're an accountant, you're a banker, you are a pastor, you are a doctor, it doesn't matter what you are, whether if you like, it doesn't matter, even if you make tires, even if you sell cars, God's goal is that all men come to the knowledge of him, is that you know him and you make him known. And so that should be your purpose, that should be your goal. And talking about practicality, what are the ways that you can do that? The first thing you want to do is to know God, because before you can know God, before you can make God known, you need to know God yourself, right? And in the first chapter of my book, I talk a lot about that, the different ways that you can get to know God, studying your Bible, you know, prayers, joining a local church, being a part of a community, meditation, journaling, so many ways that you can develop and grow your relationship with God. And then afterwards, you move on to making sure that you are making God known with your craft, right? It doesn't matter what you are doing. I always say that I have this friend. What she does is she sells honey.
Cool.
You know, that's what she does. She sells honey, and her business is, you know, I really love the way her business is modernized. And she recently told me about a testimony about a lady that bought her honey and was healed. You know, and so it just really shows that it's not really about what you're doing. You
God
need to be able to minister God to people through whatever it is that you are doing. And practical ways to do that is to really ask yourself, okay, what am I doing and how can I, you know, minister God to people through this? You need to ask yourself practically. You can feel free to do a survey. You can feel free to ask the Holy Spirit questions. Holy Spirit, one of the biggest things in my book is asking him, okay, what would you have me do this year? What is your vision? Because God has a version of you that he wants to show to the world. You need to ask him that, what is that version of me that you want the world to see, and how can I walk towards it? What are the goals that you want me to have? And so from the vision that God has for you, you need to set SMART goals, right? You need to set SMART goals, you know, SMART, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time bound, right? You're not just going to say, okay, God said I should do this, and so you're just going to say, okay, God said I should. Last year, one of the things that God told me to do at the beginning of the year was to start a business. I started that business in April, and that business, no, March or April, I cannot remember. That business failed, crumbled so woefully. And then I was asking the Holy Spirit, Shibi, you said I should. How come you understand? And then I realized that I didn't put a lot of things in place before. Yes, God actually did tell me to do it, but first of all, he didn't even tell me when. I didn't ask him the how.
That's a very different ballgame.
You get?
And it's something that I shared, I think, in the previous episode when I was saying that aligning with God from the beginning to the end. Most times God gives us A, we take the A and start to run with it without asking God, what is B, C, D? When you're talking about setting SMART goals, for me, setting SMART goals is saying, God, what do you want me to do?
How?
This week.
Where?
How?
When?
Do you want me to do it today? But most times we just use, okay, God has told you to run it, to start a business. You just go and build a business.
And we also forget that God has created systems in this world. God has told you to start a business or a language. But if you have no knowledge of business, go and learn. Right? Like, I started the business that failed last year with this, God said I should do it, so I'll do it. But I didn't know how to manage a business. I didn't know how to market a business properly. I didn't know how to build systems in my business. And so even if the business, you know, rose by divine interference, it would have crumbled eventually because there were no systems, there was no foundation to make sure that it had the structure that was necessary for it to stand the test of time. Right? And so that's one of the things that, you know, I highlighted in my book. You need to make sure that after aligning with God's vision for you, review your life. Where are you right now? What are the parts of your life that are important? I always tell my clients, I just concluded a boot camp, becoming God's version of you, boot camp. And it was a time where I really told my clients to ask yourself, okay, review your 2022, review your life. What are the parts of your life you need to focus on? I always say that sometimes God is calling us to focus on certain parts of our lives, to put some over the others. And that's okay, right? For example, in immediately after I left therapy last year, you know, I simply focused on my mental health and my spiritual health. I took a break from work, I took a break from my career, because I was like, Those are the two things that needed right my attention. Without, you know, without a functional, renewed mind, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many business classes you attend. Mm-hmm. If your mind is not in the right place, if you do not have the capacity, if your mind cannot accommodate the expansion that God needs it to have, if your mind cannot think of you in a healthy way, there's no kind of business, there's no kind of goal that you will set. You won't even be able to achieve it.
Yeah.
You know, so those are just basically the things that I would say that are practical things that you need to do to be able to align with God and then achieve the goals. I had already talked about building systems where I said create an environment that will accommodate the growth of your goals. So if God is asking you to do a particular thing, you need to set, after you set yearly goals, I've heard, set quarterly goals, set monthly goals, set weekly goals, set daily goals. What will I do today that will affect the outcome of the entire quarter? What will I do today that will affect the outcome of that goal, that will make sure that you are outcome focused, you are focused on the outcome? If this is the outcome I want, that means that I need to do this. The analogy I always give is, imagine that maybe you want to create a movie in 2023. The movie is going to be the blockbuster. Oh my God, it's going to be in the cinema, and everybody's just going to be shouting your name, and you're going to be trending on Twitter. You're not supposed to be thinking of the fact that you want to trend on Twitter. Think about what is going to be the story of that movie. Who are the actors? What costumes are you going to use? What is the budget you need? What are the marketing strategies are going to use? And there are so many things to consider. Exactly. Break it down
to bite size. And it's even bringing it back to Bible study, also breaking it down. You want to study the book of Genesis, break it down.
How many verses will you study every day?
Exactly.
What time?
Exactly.
What will you use? What time period you will allocate to it? How will you keep yourself accountable?
Yeah.
How will you remember what you have learned? Because a lot of people tell me, "In your life, remember, but I don't remember what you learned because you are rushing." Exactly.
Did you write it down?
You know,
because you would forget. When Habakkuk said, "Write the vision down," it's not because writing is sweet. You would forget.
Not that writing is.
It's not sweet, but you will forget. See, I tell in the office, I tell them, if we have a meeting tomorrow, sometimes I'm thinking, oh, these are things I want to talk about in the meeting. And the day of the meeting, I've forgotten everything. Because there are so many things going through your head every time. So if you're a digital person, get a digital note.
Exactly.
If you love paper and biro, get paper and biro and write it down. Because if you study the Bible today and by the end of the day you've forgotten, there's no problem. Go back and read.
Exactly.
And all this will remind you.
And that's why in the Bible plan that I created recently, on some days, I specifically just put read your notes. Because my expectation is that you are taking notes. And when you read your notes, it's like everything is just being refreshed.
Now you mention notes. You know how we go to church and pastor is downloading things and we write, we
just
are five books, we are writing it.
You go back to read it.
Do you go back to read it? Do you know, it's something that I've intentionally started doing. Going back to read those notes.
It's very
because
important.
You would forget everything that you've written. You have to go back. All right, we're wrapping up by the special grace of God.
Amen.
Scale of 1 to 10, how important would you say Bible study is?
Scale of 1 to 10. I would say 100. it's like, for lack of a better, no, actually, this is actually just the truth. It should be the air that you breathe.
Yeah.
Because the word of the Lord is the Lord Himself. You know, a lot of people say, oh, the God doesn't speak to me. Open your Bible and read this. God is talking to you. But because you are so distracted with everything else, you cannot even focus on Him. You know, Bible study is so important. It doesn't matter what you're doing, like I said. The Bible is exclusive. It is timeless. It is the only book that you will read so much that it will begin to read you. You know, so I mean, it's important.
All right, so last question. What advice, if you have to give our listeners one advice, people that are trying to start this Bible study journey, what's that one advice you give in 30 seconds?
Don't rush. That's my biggest advice, because that was my biggest mistake. Do not
rush. The Bible is not running.
Nobody's chasing you.
It's
nobody's
not...
fighting. In fact, sometimes, the Holy Spirit, sometimes I, you know, when I used to struggle, they used to ask me, Enyola, who is chasing you? You need to tell me, is there somebody chasing you?
All right, so do not rush. Let's look at his camera and tell them,
don't rush.
All right, thank you so much, Enyola.
Oh my God,
this was
a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
If we continue, we're here for 2 hours.
Actually,
well, I hope that this was inciting and insightful. I can't wait to hear all your comments down below.
Yes,
follow us
please
on Instagram for more details.
Bye.